Hello everyone and welcome to Inside the Arena podcast, brought to you by Piers Arena. On Inside the Arena podcast, we talk about mental health, well-being, and every other issues and challenges we all face in our day-to-day lives. And on each episode, we'll be having a guest on to talk about their own experience with these issues, and most importantly, how they are able to navigate and overcome life struggles and challenges. I am your host, Tony, and thank you very much for listening. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Inside the Arena podcast. Today we're delving into the intricate world of relationships, divorce, and the pursuits of a happier and healthier and more so fulfilling partnership. Marriage, as we all know, is a journey filled with ups, downs, and unexpected twists. It's a path where love, trust, and intimacy intertwine with challenges, conflict, and sometimes separation. Joining us today is a seasoned divorce lawyer who will be helping us unpack some of these complex issues. And without wasting so much of our time, let's just dive right into it. So, hello, how are you doing today? And thanks for making time to be here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here as well.
Yeah, great. That's awesome. So how about you introduce yourself so our audience can familiarize themselves with you and get a sense of the conversation we'll be having today?
My name is Adetunji Adeye. I'm popularly called the Lagos Divorce Lawyer, LDL for short. So, of course, I formalize divorce process. I've got a platform where divorces meet as well. It's a divorce support group here in Lagos, but obviously has over 250 membership. So yeah, those are the basic things I do. So I primarily deal with family law and everything in and around it, particularly divorces. So yes, I'm glad to be on this particular call because it's an important conversation, bearing in mind the things that are prevalent in our society today. Yeah.
Awesome. I really like that. Yeah, I saw that you kind of have like a community for people who are divorced to come, like support each other and share valuable information. That's something we're going to get to later in the back end of this conversation. So let's just really get to know you more. Can you like share a little bit of your background and what really inspired you to become like a divorce lawyer? Was there like a defining moment or an experience that influenced that choice?
That's a great question. So being a divorce lawyer is not a popular thing, even in our industry as lawyers. The first thing I will say is, of course, back in the law school, university, I didn't particularly take a course on divorce law, as it were. In fact, there was a course called family law that was optional at the time. I'm not sure I even picked that course because obviously there were other courses that were of interest. But then I started to work in a couple of law firms before I started on my own. And one of the law firms I worked was a commercial firm primarily. You know, but then we had the divorce matter to handle, and my boss wasn't a divorce lawyer, as it were. So the next thing I saw was he handed the file, handled it. And once he handed me the file, of course, I had to just, for the first time, find out what it's all about. And, you know, quite frankly, I handled it well. We had a couple of other divorce matters that came, which I also handled. So that sort of put in me the interest. Then, from a personal point of view, I've got interest in family life generally. So I like to talk about relationships to singles. And so that really put me in good stead for, you know, handling divorce matters. You know, so when I thought to carve a niche for myself, I thought divorce law was a very good area that I could, you know, take advantage of.
Yeah, awesome. That's nice. How long have you been practicing family law?
Yeah, this is my ninth year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and given the fact that you said divorce law or family, or particularly divorce lawyers are not a thing of, I don't know, should I say, popularity or something that is frowned upon, especially in this part of the world, we can well attest to that. So what would you say have been some of the challenges that you faced? Have there been like pushbacks to it? Like, do people look at you some type of way? Or what has been your overall experience with it so far for the past 9 years?
Yeah, so of course, we live in a society and we've got the culture, which is basically the way of life for people. Mm-hmm. So the same way you have stigma for someone that is HIV positive or someone that is divorced, mm-hmm. you know, someone that loses a loved one, a widow. So you have all of these fragmented experiences that people have. And unfortunately, it has an impact on how people view life generally. So if I started out, I thought just, because my mainstay is online, I use my online platform to get in clients, to send information, to educate people. So the truth of the matter is I sort of searched online, on Instagram, just a basic search for divorce lawyers. I wanted to get a sense of, you know, any divorce lawyer's presence. And I mean, incredibly, I found that divorce lawyers are not prevalent online. In fact, divorce lawyers it's not a common place, it's not a common interest to have. And I'm sure that is because of certain factors. It could be religious factors, faith. It could be the societal factor, stigma. You know, it could be just a status factor. So some people just feel, oh, you'll be more respected when you're a corporate lawyer or an oil and gas lawyer. You know, so sometimes you want to disregard, you know, the other parts that are not really, you know, prevalent or prominent, as it were. So that for me was an opportunity to have a niche. So you don't find people come out and stay upfront and boldly that I'm a divorce lawyer. You hardly will find that. You find most of them, they are sitting behind a desk and they will just take divorce briefs once in a while. You know, but I mean, at the end of the day, we have to realize that family life issues are real life issues.
Mm-hmm.
But people have lost their lives, you know, in terrible marriages. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if they had walked away, they probably would still be alive with us today. I remember the case, you know, that happened when obviously she suffered domestic violence and it affected her physically and mentally. So I think we downplay the mental side of things in this part of the world. And it's just a surprise that people are beginning to see the ravaging effect, you know, that the downside of the mental side of things can cause. I mean, a case in point is the Mubarak situation. Now, videos I imagine every day of what he's been through from a mental side, you know, over time. Because sometimes people don't die as a result of an action before their death. It's not like everybody's died is killed by being shot right at the spot. Mm-hmm. People die from, you know, a compilation and a build-up of certain issues that they've been through, you know, which is why people have to understand that family life issues are real life issues. So when you see things from that standpoint, it would help your perspective, it will shape your perspective. I mean, the divorce group I run right now, amazingly, you know, people share their experiences every day, and it's just crazy what people go through. So this is an opportunity to not only get a business or fulfill a practice out of what I do, but also to help people, you know, to make decisions. And we don't make decisions for them. But the job of a lawyer, of a divorce lawyer, is to formalize that decision. You had gone through a process of law to get married. So the only way you can get out of it is by process of law. You know, so that's it wasn't a difficult decision because of my perspective to it. And that's why you see lawyers in the UK and the US, they are very upfront about it. Oh, I'm a divorce lawyer. I've been a divorce lawyer for 20 years. You know, that's the way it should be. And that's why my page is what it is.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, wholeheartedly agree with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You should just, like you mentioned, like in the US or in the UK, some of these divorce attorneys, they have written very successful books on how people can have successful relationships due to their experience over the years dealing with so many failed relationships. They can actually pinpoint some of the key things that actually lead to separation and how people can actually avoid them. So it's a very, very important aspect of our lives. Just like you said, family issues are real issues. And fundamentally, whether we choose to agree or not, or acknowledge it as it may, the family is the bedrock of society itself, right? Whatever happens within a family actually plays out into our society. So for example, if you have a family where things are not balanced or healthy, children most likely suffer from those kind of situations, and they sometimes come out of it and have a negative impact in society due to addiction or any other thing, or developing a sense of like violence or whatever the case may be, because they've been used to it through their upbringing. So it's very, very important. Even as much as part of the world don't want to acknowledge these issues, we should constantly talk about it. I think having conversations openly is the best way we can destigmatize things like this, right? Like, I believe it's the media's job to bring these stories to our living room, to our TV screens, just like they do in the Western world. So coming back to the references you made, maybe like in the UK and the US, like with divorce attorneys or whatnot, what would you say are some similarities or differences when it comes to the divorce legal process in Nigeria and the other parts of the world?
Of course, one of the things that you would highlight very quickly is the timeline. Yeah, is much easier to get divorces wrapped up in those climes, you know, faster. It's faster, it's easier. Then the grounds for the divorce as well slightly differ. So over here, there are certain grounds that you have to rely on. All right, so the ground for divorce is that the marriage must have broken down irretrievably, and you have to prove certain facts. At least one of those, in quote, 7-8 facts. And there's adultery, there's intolerable behavior. There's when parties have lived apart for 2 years without an objection from the other side. There's when parties have lived apart for 3 years. There's conjugal, restoration of conjugal rights. There's, you know, all of those facts that you have to prove. So usually what differs is the grounds upon which you rely on, and obviously the efficiency of that process is smoother over there. And for obvious reasons, as with everything in life, you can draw up tables for differences between UK and US, and you get a long list because there's a systemic failure here of some sort. So it makes things slower. It's just a process different. And obviously, the threshold and the tolerance levels also can be different. Some people do a prenup, for example. A prenuptial agreement can help you determine how, for example, joint properties will be shared after a divorce. Okay? So in that sense, what we're saying is that over here, you don't see a prenup agreement come up, simply because you can't tell your girlfriend or your fiance that, you know what, I want us to put down a document, just sort of agree on whatever properties we buy, who's going to have custody, just in case something goes wrong. The guys over there are realistic, you know. They don't think they are prophesying doom, as it were. They're just preparing for and eventually, so for them, it's a possible outcome. Divorce is a possible outcome.
Yeah.
For us here, it's a God forbid outcome.
Somebody plans for
such eventualities. So you find out that divorces there can be much more amicable to resolve. There can be a settlement process, in fact. You know, then the laws there obviously are tougher. You know, the compliance levels there are also, you know, I could go all the talking about the systemic failures here. And the fact that the lack of database over here can affect divorce processes. Because if you're saying this person is going to have custody of the children, this person is going to pay. The question is, how do we get after this guy or this lady or this woman that should pay 50,000 naira per month, for example, for a child? How do we enforce that? Can it be deducted at source from their workplace? You know, so there's the accountability factor, there's the database factor. So there are different factors that you look at in terms of the difference, you know. So it's more efficient over there for sure.
I completely agree with that. Out here, people can actually hide assets and the rest of it. So being that you've been practicing family law for the past 9 years, like you rightly pointed out, what would you say is the most common reason why people get divorced in Nigeria?
Great question. So over here, most of the time is for adultery, or for infidelity, basically, or for domestic violence. That are the most common reasons. Then, I mean, what is prevalent these days is there's just a sense of lack of responsibility. I'll have to point out rightly. And it's prevalent with the men. So you find women taking up roles, you know, there's an element of that. So that causes friction. You know, and before you know it, people are headed for a divorce. So sometimes it's not just one issue that causes it. It could be disability that would degenerate. I mean, you could have a spouse that had never touched you, had never beaten you for the first 3-4 years of marriage. But then certain things begin to come into play. And before you know it, the person is considering doing all of those things. Right. So those are the key problems, you know, with divorces in Nigeria. So you can't pinpoint to one thing. Obviously, most of the major ones are domestic violence, physical, emotional, and of course, money can be a factor as well. Then you have infidelity. That's quite a lot.
Yeah. Infidelity, right, is something that leads to divorce in Nigeria. Like, that's something we can all agree on. But then again, if you want to steal a man, the other side, right, maybe sometimes when infidelity comes up, often partners often complain about maybe dissatisfaction in their sexual life within their marriage or the lack of the frequency of it. And maybe that sometimes is like something that is like a snowball effect that actually leads partners to go seek out this type of pleasure from outside the wedding, from outside the marriage. So is that something that actually comes up in the cases you've dealt with or seen also?
So sexual incompatibility, like as some people call it, is, you know, sometimes, you know, some of the cases that we have, you know, but it can be different reasons. For example, you get married to someone, maybe you both were not sexually active with each other, and you find out the person is impotent, and you're not. Or you find out that the person has a low sperm count, for example. You know, so these are real issues that come up, and because an integral part of marriage is sex, whether we like it or not. Because you want to procreate, you want to enjoy your intimacy with your spouse and all that. So those things are valid points that come up. I mean, then also when you find yourself in a relationship where there is extramarital affairs or where there is infidelity, you know, that has a ripple effect on your, you know, sexual experience with your spouse. Because if you're going outside, obviously, it would have a ripple effect on what you're doing inside. So, I mean, I've had situations where a client tells me, I just stopped having sex with my husband because I found out that I was going outside. Sometimes it brings in STDs and it's not a place for me. And in fact, sometimes it's not even just the STDs. It's just the mental process that, oh, my husband is having an affair with me alongside some other ladies. So that could cause a friction, you know, and cause a result in the breakdown of the marriage. So yeah, sexual issues are very real, and listen, there are a lot of them. The truth of the matter is, most times when there's a breakdown in other areas, it has a way of affecting the sexual life or the shared sexual experience of a couple. Because when things are not going on well, I mean, you won't find that connection or that flair that you usually have. Your mojo will just naturally. So most of the time, that's what happens. You know, when you have people go through those terrible sexual experiences.
Okay, there's this phenomenon, but I didn't find any real data to actually back it up, right? Of people talking about situations whereby the divorce rates in Nigeria is going up or is skyrocketing, as people would rightly use that word, just like for fear mongering or whatever the case is. Is that an actual phenomenon? Are they actually verifiable statistics to back that claim up?
Well, one problem with us in this country is lack of statistics. So I don't think there's any verifiable statistics as it were to back things up. We can only talk about our personal experiences. You know, I mean, every lawyer would have the predominant cases that come to them. And that's what you use. Or you want to use social media. What people talk about, the most, you know. So it's hard to get accurate statistics.
But would you say there's been a rise in demand for your services in particular in your own practice?
Very good question. Yes, of course. So I always pinpoint, I know divorces have always been, but COVID sort of changed the landscape.
How so?
Yeah, I feel that period, people, that's, you know, COVID had a very ironical effect on marriages. Got a couple, 9-to-5 workers, they go to work together in the morning, come back, and you do that for a calendar year. You know the problem that would bring. There'll be less time to be with each other, of course. Because I mean, you think about Lagos traffic, you know, and you have to leave the house by 6 a.m. You probably have to come back like 9, 10, sometimes 8 o'clock, and you're tired, you're exhausted from day's work because you have to be up early the next day. So that's time to spend with each other. I mean, that's common sense. Right? And to spend with children as well. Then just put that side by side with COVID, where we had, I mean, a few months together. I mean, you had the chance to spend more time because it was a lockdown, right? And this is a world phenomenon. It wasn't a children phenomenon, it was a world phenomenon. So this same thing I'm saying is exactly what lawyers abroad are also saying, because the lockdown was even longer in those places, right? It was maybe for like 5 weeks. Then there was a, you know, restructured lockdown as it were. So you would have thought that would even foster harmony between couples. You know, but unfortunately, that seemed to amplify conflict. Because I don't have the data for this, but I can tell you that a lot of people discovered who their spouses really were at that time. And sometimes you don't see people's mistakes until you stay with them, until you, because I mean, if I don't stay with you long enough, you wouldn't realize what my strength or weaknesses could be, right? So it's until we stay long enough that you can tell that, oh, this guy doesn't really do this, he doesn't really do that. If you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an ironical effect, because what should have brought couples together, give people perspective and reasons, you know, to want to walk away. In fact, there were more fights in homes, you know, there was and of course, you know, some jobs today have, you know, metamorphosed into work from home. So some days you work from home, some days you work in the office. So right now, people are spending more time and conflicts are you know, on the rise, as it were. So I've always said this. It's not so much about conflict. It's about management. You can be in a relationship with someone and you won't have conflict. You're two human beings. You're in this world. There are challenges every day. Offenses must come. You know, so it's how to manage that conflict. So while some people don't lack, for example, communication skills, love language, you know, skills and what have you, what a lot of people lack is conflict management skills. Because conflict management in itself is a skill. Couple A say, oh, you know what? I don't want to, I'm not going to talk to my husband for the next 3 days or until he comes around, he comes good. And you have this other couple say, you know what? When these things happen, we're talking about it right away. We're going to swallow our pride. We're shutting down our egos. Listen, we're in this together. Let's deal with the situation. These are two different couples handling things differently. The same situation occurred between them. So that's the peculiarity you have. Why there's a rise in people's tolerance and tolerability, tolerance levels are, you know, going down. Sometimes you think of a divorce because you've got an option.
But first things first, let's unpack the COVID issue. COVID had a lot of negative and positive effects. There was a rise in reproduction because couples were staying at home, call them the COVID babies or whatnot. There was also a rise in separation because people actually realized that they've been living with a total stranger for a long period of time without realizing that was the case. And it goes back to this phenomenon that I've heard Jordan Peterson, the clinical psychologist, talk about is people in marriages should be actively dating. There's a few hand rules. There's like, you should make time to have sex at least 3 times in a week, because what else would you do once you lose that physical intimacy? That's like the snowball effect goes down into other things. He talked about at least have once in a week where you have sort of like a date night. You don't have to take each other to a fancy restaurant, but you can, you know, do something at home. It can be whatever the situation is. He also talked about a situation whereby there has to be time to catch up with each other's lives at least twice in a week, whereby you actively sit down and say, what's been going on at work? What has your stress level been like? Or get involved in each other's lives, because you abandon those things for like 5 or 3 years, and then you realize that you've been living with an entirely different stranger, because people evolve through time. It's a natural phenomenon that actually happens. So it's very surprising, because out of all the negative effects I've actually heard me personally, maybe because I wasn't really paying attention about the negative impact of COVID in Nigeria through 2020 that we had. This is the first time I'm actually hearing that there's like sort of like a direct correlation between COVID and the divorce issue and the rising divorce issue in Nigeria. That's really astonishing. I never thought about it from that perspective. And that's why having conversations like this are important, because you get to have inside perspective of why various things are happening around us so we can make sense of it. And you talking about a situation whereby active communication in relationship and handling issues, taking issues head on. There's I think sometimes we as a society, we like to deny the fact that fighting is a natural phenomenon when it comes to relationship, but it just depends on the level at which you fight. Are you, as a couple, are you fighting fair, or are you using it as an opportunity to denigrate your partner and put them down? Or, you know, you see that as an opportunity to call out all their flaws and the rest of it? Or are you actually tackling what the issues are at the particular time and simply like find a resolution from that, basically? All these are really, really important conversations that we need to basically have all the time.
So sorry to cut you. I'm just checking the stats right here. It says on average, I mean, of course, this is the United States. On average, from March through December 2020, of course, 2020 was the COVID year, divorce declined by 43%. Marriage rates declined by 54%. Yeah.
Wow.
These findings indicate that during the first wave of COVID-19 pandemic, couples continued to end their marriages through divorce.
Yeah, it was a very, very challenging time. So let's bring the issue back to the whole divorce procedure and the legal process and what the landscape is like in Nigeria. Because you talked about earlier in this conversation, talked about there are some 7 basic facts that you have to prove one of them in order to successfully have a divorce in Nigeria, right? You talked about negligence, you talked about infidelity, you also talked about domestic violence and the likes of it. So I guess my question is, what should be the first step people should actually take? Because as much as we would like not to talk about the negative, right? We always say, God forbid, it won't happen to me, or other things like that. But what do you think are the first steps or first things that people should consider when divorce becomes like the only option that is available for them to either maybe save their own lives because due to like the domestic violence, or for their own mental health due to they are living in a physically in a verbally abusive or mentally abusive environment, or whatever the case may be? So what should be the first things people should actually consider legally when it comes to that aspect?
The first thing that I want to say is that no one decides when the marriage is done, or apart from the person in the marriage. So your pastor in church, your imam in the mosque, your counselor, your therapist, your mother, your father, your folks, your siblings. No one knows when your marriage is done. You are the one that knows. You in the situation where your marriage is done. So the truth of the matter is, you have to assess the situation. You know, I always say that divorce, you don't divorce one-offs. You divorce patterns. When a one-off situation happens, you have to assess the situation, because you have to understand that we're humans. And the first thing to find out is the why. Why did this happen? Is there a remedy? So for me, the first thing you want to look at is there a way out of this? Even as a divorce lawyer, I've had to turn back a number of people that have called me in to file for a divorce, because sometimes those decisions are impulsive. Sometimes it's because of what happened last night. And the first thing you want to do is to dial up and call a divorce lawyer. I'm done. So sometimes you don't make divorce decisions, you know, from an impulsive point of view, as it were. You need to settle and think about it. Reflect, because you're ending the marriage, particularly when you have kids. You need to reflect and really think about it. Then I always say that divorce should be the last resort. It should be the last resort. You must have attempted counseling, therapy. I mean, hopefully if your partner is open to those things, So, what am I trying to say in a nutshell? Assess the situation yourself. Let it be at a point where you think, you know what, I've done all there is. I've attempted, I have tried, I've done my best possible, basically. Okay? So, with that being said, when you've now reached that decision to leave a marriage, of course, the next thing to do naturally would be to contact a divorce lawyer. And once you contact a divorce lawyer, the first thing the divorce lawyer wants to know is if you even have a ground for divorce. Because in Nigeria, you can't get a divorce without having a ground for divorce.
So we don't have like the no-fault divorce, quote-unquote, like they do in some states
exactly.
In America.
We have the fault divorce, the fault system. So you divorce me, and I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't see any sense in that. And I'll tell you why, because as much as under our divorce law, we're trying to protect the sanctity of the institution of marriage. We're trying to protect it. That's why there's even a two-year rule. I don't know if you've heard about that before. Meaning that...
There's a two-year rule?
Yes, until your marriage is 2 years, you can't or you're not eligible to file for a divorce. Of course, there are exceptions to that general rule. But the fact that there's that rule in the first place, that means what the law is trying to do is to protect the sanctity of marriage so that people don't just wake up in the morning and say they're out. And that might also, you know, help your decision-making when you're trying to choose who to marry. Knowing that in the first 2 years, we might have to just live with each other, you know, and not be able to file for a divorce. Except you fall under the exception, physical violence, adultery, and all that. So, with that being said, when the lawyer determines if you've got that ground, then the next thing to do will be to file the process in court, which will usually take, you know, 8 to 11 months. It could be more depending on factors that are beyond the control of the lawyer, as it were. So, basically, what we're trying to say is, as you engage a lawyer, a divorce petition is filed, your spouse is served, that person has a right to obviously respond, and you know it becomes contested or uncontested. Contested in the sense that your spouse responds, is contesting, saying no, he wants custody, you say you want custody. You know, so the system over there, which is a no fault, like you've said, it works because if two adults consent and say, you know what, we're done with the marriage. The same with the consented to marry. Why can't two adults consent and say we're done? Why does the law here have to say that until you satisfy the grounds for marriage, for divorce, I should say, you can't file for divorce? So the steps you're taking, obviously, are legal steps. Then, of course, some people take traditional steps as well. They return the bride price and all of that. So usually when the only marriage you did was a traditional marriage, your return of bride price is sufficient. All right.
Is that acknowledged under the law?
Oh, absolutely. So there are two types of marriages. There are traditional marriages, or what we call customary marriage. And there is statutory marriage, what we call legal marriage. Now, for the customary marriage, it means I only got married to my wife traditionally. I didn't go to a licensed place of worship to conduct a wedding. I didn't go to the registry to conduct a wedding. So if you do only traditional marriage, the only courts that have jurisdiction over that is the customary court.
Oh,
because
okay.
They will dissolve the marriage by custom. In fact, if you don't want to go to customary court, you can simply just return the bride price and you are as good as divorced. That's a different thing if you did customary wedding or traditional wedding, as is usually called. You did a church wedding, you went to, for example, the registry to get married. Now, for that one, the only court that has jurisdiction is the High Court, because it has become a statutory marriage. The statute is what governs the eventualities in those kind of marriages. You know, that's the one that is done by law, as it were.
on the internet, we often talk about bullying, cyberbullying, or abuses, or, you know, suicide prevention due to social media use and negative impact of social media use and the rest of it. But I think one of the things that often fly over our head is social media has become a ground for people to propagate their own personal coping mechanism as a proper solution to everybody else's problem. I see this as a phenomenon. For example, there's always the popular one. If your boyfriend doesn't have money, leave him alone. Listen, that's your own way. If your girlfriend doesn't know how to cook, leave her alone. Like, that's your preference. But people are often propagating these things. And there's this thing about the way our subconscious work. You might see that content in the immediate term and feel like, oh, this doesn't have any negative impact on me. But your brain must sometimes pick those things up and registers it. And you might end up handling a personal issue that comes up in your life due to something that you've heard or you've listened to before, and you may not know that that is what is having a direct impact. For example, people will say it's your family that would, you know, bring you down. Do not help your family, or whatever the case is. And then somebody would be in their personal life with their siblings or whatnot, and they might be fine. They might be reluctant to, you know, lending a helping hand or whatever the case is, not realizing that what is primarily driving that thing is maybe something they must have heard or listened to that their subconscious must have picked up, and they even have no idea that that's what is leading their emotions or their decisions to making certain things. So I often say this a lot. We should be very, very careful, and we should recognize that when people have not healed, when people are dealing with a traumatic event, okay, let's bring it back to like the case of marriage, for example. Let's say somebody was in a relationship, say like a public relationship or whatever the case is, they are celebrities or whatever the case is, or just in a relationship, and their partner just cheated on them, or there was a case of infidelity or things like that. That person is going through pain, hurt, right? An emotional trauma where they need to heal from it, right? And they are not in the best place to actually give advice to other people when they've not fully taken account of how the situation got to the part where it got to, or how they ended up in that situation, right? And they just pick up the phone and they make a video and they're very, very emotional and they're crying or whatnot and say, this is why I say you should never give your heart to a man, or this is why I say you should never do X, Y, Z and the rest of it. And there's this thing where we are, as humans, always drawn to people's emotion, right? Emotional outburst is something that catches our attention. If you hear a baby crying, you stop. It doesn't matter. All those things are just our natural inclinations to things. So when you see somebody seriously crying their eyes out and wailing, and you stop and you listen and you want to see what's really going on, and the next thing is you're guarding your heart. You are no longer free and open in your relationship because you think, you know, this can be your reality or whatever the situation is. And what we should actually recognize as a society is these people need to heal. This person needs to heal at this particular time. This person is not in the place to give the best advice at this particular time. Maybe when they've reflected, they can have a well put together, I don't know, narrative or whatever the case is to actually give advice, because sometimes advice is important. But the whole point is social media has become grounds for people to propagate their coping mechanism as a proper solution. And I think that's something we should all recognize. So I really appreciate the fact that you said you are in the best position to realize when your marriage has ended, not what any other person tells you. So my next question is actually, can you share maybe some insights into the emotional toll that the divorce process actually takes on individuals and families?
All right. I would answer that question, but I would touch on the social media aspect you mentioned. Because social media is a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
I've handled I've been contacted by a couple of celebrities that, when you go through their pages, everything seems to be going good. Everything. You know, and I mean, because of the confidence that they have in me, I can't share certain information, but when you think about the things that they went through, from the things that they told me, you know, let me just chip this in. You know, one of these celebrities, I went into a comment section on a post that she made about, you know, she and her spouse. And you see, God, when people are my roommate. God, keep this home. I want to be like you. Now only your way I know. It was funny and it was not funny at the same time.
Yeah, I get that.
People don't realize that social media. I'm only going to project what I want you to see about myself. Now, going deep about what I said about the experiences that she had. Sometimes she had swells. She's a light-skinned person. She had swells on her eyes. She would wear glasses and take pictures. And you wouldn't know that the glasses were to cover something, not necessarily a fashion statement. So is the wrongest place to get what you need to, you know, to help you determine what you do in your marriage. Wrongest place. It is more destructive than constructive. The Eastern blocs of this world would hardly give you an account of a blissful marriage. Hardly. Because how are they going to money? How are they going to sell? How are they going to gain traction? So good things hardly gain traction these days. You go to a post on a good wedding anniversary for a marriage, you maybe see 50 comments or 20 comments, maybe from their very strong fans. But check you when they split. 19,000 comments. A lot of people are talking about it because people naturally, not necessarily that they want you to fail, but they're just waiting for the news to go south. And that's exactly how life is. So social media is not a correct reality. And what you have said, what applies to this couple and how they dealt with it might not necessarily apply to you. Because when you begin to compare, you know, yourself with somebody else, Bible says you're not wise, you're foolish. It's foolishness. So the truth of the matter is, it's bigger than you think. It's bigger than I think. It's bigger than what anybody thinks. Because it has a ravaging effect on your life. People lose their self-esteem because of a divorce. People lose their self-esteem because of a divorce. People lose their sense of worth. People lose their confidence. Because when things go wrong on the home front, you agree with me that you hardly will be able to produce at work. You hardly will be able to live your life the way you want to live it. Because your home is where the heart is. Home is where your comfort is. They say charity begins at home, isn't it? So home is the base. That's where everything all comes together. So the major problem with that is the emotional toll it takes, particularly on the children. Because people don't have enough. You want to divorce, you're very keen, you're very driven to divorce your spouse. How do you think the children are taking it? So you find out that if you got a therapist on your session to ask you the amount of clients they have and why they have come to be, they will tell you that a lot of them are from marital situations. Some people never had any business to do with the hospital or with the therapist or with the counselor before marriage. Nothing. If you check their medical records, clean. After marriage, a lot of things begin to happen. I mean, somebody was at my office a couple of days ago and told me that now she develops high BP.
Wow.
Young lady in her early 30s.
Because of the stress at home.
Stress. sometimes you don't know what to expect when you get back home. If you're going to be beaten, if the food is not going to be good, what's going to happen? Several kinds of... So, emotional abuse is a thing now. It's becoming very, very rampant now. People are realizing... I mean, if you asked our older generation, they didn't really know what emotional abuse was. In fact, that is the problem most people today are facing with their parents when they tell their parents what to file for a divorce. They'll tell you, what is it? What did he do? So when somebody calls you big for nothing fool and repeats that every day, or says you're just good for nothing, you're just the kitchen material, you're this, you're that. People in those days, is that why you're... In fact, even for cheating, that's how men are. So what are you... What's the difference between what you went through and what I went through?
Mm-hmm.
Because in those days, you know, they will argue that their tolerance level was really high. They could tolerate a lot of things. And sometimes tolerance can be tied to lack of finances.
Obviously.
When you don't have a choice, because if you leave the house, you're going to go broke.
Or social stigma.
Exactly. The social stigma was really high at that time. Nowadays, if it was on that, my marriage has ended. Yeah, they'll take it in a funny way, but it's not as bad as they would have taken it years ago, because it was almost like a taboo at that time. In fact, you'll be blamed.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you leave your marriage? No matter what, you need to stay put. And obviously, the religious reasons as well, and all of that. So, the effect is, like I said, is bigger than what we think.
And it's so unfair, particularly on women. You know, I had Kafi, the dancer, the celebrity Kafi. I had her on the podcast. She was one of the first guests I had. She was graceful enough to give me that opportunity to have a conversation with her. And it was that time at the height of when she just got divorced, and she was talking about the whole experience or whatnot. And she said, I have been a married woman, and now I'm a divorced woman. And she has seen the way people treat you when you are a married woman and now that you're separated. And she said some people would go as far as not... Because of that simple thing that is associated with you or whatever the case is, they will treat you certain types of way. And people who are still in their husband's house or married and their characters are nothing to be written home about or whatever the case is, they don't acknowledge those things because they are still married. And she talks about the stigma and how that needed to stop, and we needed to look at things differently from various perspectives. I think it's particularly in Africa, in Nigeria, that we can really speak of. It's really unfair, the social stigma when it comes to women. I think majority of the time, people don't even leave because of the financial situation. Because some women even have very comfortable jobs that they can take care of their own needs. But simply because of that social stigma, and because of we are so judgy as a culture and as a society in Nigeria, that's why people just say, I don't want people to associate me with that, or the fear of not being able to find somebody else. Or people would usually say, oh, no one would get married to a woman who has already been, you know, there are all these things and sayings that people usually say that are just unhealthy and keep people in situations that they shouldn't be in, basically.
Yeah. Very true. So it's everything to do with orientation. First and foremost, how do you even see your life? What are the things you want for yourself personally? You know, then what does the society see? Does what the society see affect your perspective to life? There's a high rate of divorce by women. As a matter of fact, women file for divorces more. 90% of my clients are women. That tells you a lot. Very high number. And it's like that all over the world. Women file for divorces more because women are in a much better financial situation today than 1-2 decades ago. Women are more empowered. You see MDs of banks and all of that. You see women rising. You see women getting promotions. I'll tell you the truth, their clamor and their agitation for equal pay and equality is worked. All of the feminism drive is worked. You see that even in football. women are protesting these days. Women are asking for equal pay. They're trying so hard to match that standard. So that comes with decision making as well, because once you empower the woman to make decisions, that's where a woman can say, I'm done with this marriage. A woman can do that. I can afford to take care of myself. I don't need money from you. In fact, I'm the one that's been paying the bills. I've been paying the rent. So what do you have to tell me? You know, so these are things that are very these are gray areas that, you know, the world is changing, the world is evolving, and we have to evolve with it. You know, and that's why when I get the opportunity to speak to men, you have to take responsibility for what you have as a family. Because these days you have to pay bills. A lot of them. In fact, I didn't realize it was so much until, because I do a lot of consultations. So it's ridiculous what we have in today's world. But yeah, that's what it is.
Do you have any advice or strategies on how parents can actually minimize the impact of divorce on their children?
So the thing is, two elephants fight, the grass has suffered. People don't realize these things. Someone walked into my office and she was so, so quick or eager to file for a divorce. She was so eager to show me the evidence she has of the husband charging towards her, she had taken a video and all that. Now, in that video, I was really, really, what I saw was quite terrible, because I found out that the kids were right there, some of the video, and all of that was happening. And it broke my heart, because I'm not sure she even had any plans to maybe give them therapy how do you explain out that situation to them? Dad is beating mom. How do you explain to a 4, 5, 6, 7 year old? You know, so my first advice is you need to seek therapy for the children. And as a matter of fact, people that are going through conflict or divorce situations have to ensure that they do it behind closed doors or without the kids saying these things. Because kids matter these days. They know when there's a conflict. They understand sign languages. They understand codes. They are very smart. They know when dad and mom are not in good terms. What impression are you giving them about love? What impression are you giving them about parenting or good marriage? I tell people that are divorced, I say, you have a lot of work to do making yourself a model to these children, because they might not see you as a good model for what their future wants to be. You see, people that are from separated homes tell you today, my mom and dad were separated and I made my own mind, I made up my own mind that I would go a different route. There was nothing I learned from them. That's what happens when you go through a divorce. So a divorce comes with dire consequences, and you must be ready to face those consequences. One of the consequences are the kids. Was ready to take them through life. You must discuss with your co-parents on how to minimize the effect, because it's very important to cushion the effect. It's already bad that they went through a divorce, that they have to leave your house and go to one other house somewhere when they should have been having two parents staying together. They have to leave Ikoto and go to BI. They'll stay here for a weekend. They'll come back here during the week. It's a messy situation. The best way you can cushion the effect is when co-parents come together and say, you know what, let's put our differences aside. We're divorced, but let's make co-parents work. Let's make life attractive for these children, because we're all they've got. So perspective is everything. And if you can afford to get therapy for them, get therapy for them. Show them love, because love in two different homes is better than love in one home, hate in another home. So that's just the way.
I think it's one thing to go through that process and understanding the effect it has on children. But I think sometimes where couples actually fail is not having to have that conversation with their kids and explain to them what the situation is, no matter the decision you've taken. We know sometimes we just feel like their kids, it's like, you know, they will live with the consequences or whatever the case is. But I really appreciate us having this conversation. I know you're busy, so I would really let you go. Hopefully we can, you know, do this some other time and, you know, talk about some specific areas. I think that would really help. But for people who have listened to you today and are interested, you know, getting in touch with you, you know, maybe using your services or the rest of it, or maybe joining like the support group community you said you had for divorcees.
Yeah, very well. So basically my handle is Lagos Divorce Lawyer, right? Lagos Divorce Lawyer on Instagram. So when you get on the bio there, you see the link to my website. You can book a consultation there. You also see the handle for the support group. Send a DM and we'll get on it, you know, right away. If you want to join the community, it's a growing community, and you get to the people that are going through similar situations as you are. So it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time. Like you said, we'll do this some other time. So do take care of yourself and enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to this conversation. To support this podcast, please like, share, leave a comment or a review. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter @Piers_Arena. Thank you once more.